CliffCentral.com.
Speaking of smart people, it's time for us to turn our attention to the great Jean-Jacques Cornish, who waits for us in the green room of our studio this morning to tell us about Africanalysis, which of course is brought to you by the Johannesburg Business School, where we look at what is happening around the continent. We've got a bunch of things to talk to Jean-Jacques Cornish about. JJ, how are you?
I'm immensely well, thank you. Very, very well. I was just going to have my McDonald's breakfast, and I was planning my... the much demanded personal appearance with you guys, but do you mind if I do it before the end of the month so that I don't think I have another crossing before the end of the month.
So you can afford
maybe I'll delay it till the fuel price goes down again.
I know. Right? Isn't it terrible? I mean, these are the things that ordinary old people have to deal with, all of us. We are ordinary old people because we're all just trying to get by and do our thing every day and you know, because Russia and Ukraine want to fight with each other, I don't see why this should be, or Joe Biden for that matter, why all of this should be affecting us as much as it is. But JJ, let's turn our attention to the continent that is home and bring our eyes to places that are closer to home and look at some of the stories there, because this is what we love talking to you about. And Bakabantu and Lebang and I, every week or every second week, we like to check in with you and see what's going on. What's happening in Somalia? We haven't checked in on Somalia for a long time. Well, that place has been a basket case for all of my living memory. But is it getting better?
1991, the fall of Siad Barre. They've had conflict there ever since. And just for fun, right now they have the worst drought in 40 years.
Man. Never rains.
So they have a new president. They had elections. Now, you want to know about elections? One person, one vote. They haven't had that since 1991. This is what they do with their elections. They have MPs. The MPs are elected thus by the various clans. Mm-hmm. As you know, Somalia is split by clans. So each clan puts up a number of delegates and they then elect MPs. They have not that many MPs, and they then each become part of an electoral college. And so Hassan Sheikh Mohammed, who was president 5 years ago, won the election after three rounds with 214 votes, becomes president of the electoral college votes. He beats Farmajo, who's Mohammed Abdullahi, who got 110 votes.
Sure.
He will serve a four-year term. The voting was done at a specially secured aircraft hangar outside of the capital, Mogadishu. So, as I say, people saying, how can you call this a proper election? This is the closest thing they can do for an election. There's huge celebrations, people firing shots into the air, people banging drums, and then there was congratulations from neighboring Kenya, from Ethiopia. They're all happy that this is over now. The election was delayed for 15 months. Farmajo hanging on. But the important thing because he's now going to face this conflict and the drought, a job that I would want, Hassan Sheikh Mohammed.
No.
But the important thing is that Joe Biden has approved the return of some U.S. troops to Somalia. You know, Bill Clinton pulled them out with after Black Hawk Down. Remember that notorious episode? Yes. But there were 700 troops there. Now, they were using drones, effectively, and training Somali troops. Donald Trump pulled them out. Now Joe Biden is saying we will put troops back in. That was the overnight news. We don't know the number yet. Will it be another 700? But essentially, they have targeted five of the top al-Shabaab leaders, and they will get them, not with boots on the ground, chasing them into settlements, but with drones. And they were quite effective with us in the past. Even the Somali authorities having to say, okay, they're doing the job for them. The fact is there's also been quite a lot of collateral damage.
Yeah.
When you use drones, that's bound to happen, and you get civilians killed.
But things
are hotting up.
You know, we talk about Somalia, and I always kind of think of that Lord of the Rings movie where there's that city that's been almost completely obliterated. There's more rubble than there is you know, brick standing on brick or stone standing on stone. And really, Mogadishu is an absolute mess and has been since 1991. That's longer than South Africa's been a democracy, that place has been a mess. What is it like to be? Have you been in Mogadishu? And what is it like for the ordinary Somalian when you've got this play acting by politicians and they're meeting in an aircraft hangar to elect a government, in inverted commas? But it's really just warlords and, as you say, clans. It doesn't seem to me that the average Somalian is even particularly affected by any of this play acting by the politicians. What is life like for the ordinary Somalian?
Well, Al-Shabaab is being kicked out of the urban areas. There's 15 million Somalians, by the way. And, the politicians then meet at hotels and restaurants and places within Somalia. This is the first election. It's only the third election since 91 that has been held in Somalia itself. Not only are they questionably democratic, but they were held in Kenya and in Djibouti. And there's a lot of vote buying. The Djiboutian president, Omar Guelleh, said, "I don't know about this election," when he hosted it last time.
Right.
It seems that Al-Shabaab is buying all the necessary votes to run the place. But, you know, to cross Mogadishu, you have to go through something like 7 checkpoints. So the center is held by one clan. Another section is held by another warlord. It's an absolute nightmare to traverse the place. Somalians trying to get on with their lives. But every time something happens that is heartening, along come the Al-Shabaab and blow it up. You know, they don't want anything to happen that's of any use. So it literally is. When you talk about a failed state, that means one thing. But Somalia is really, really a nightmare state.
Yeah, I remember there's that report that they bring out. I think it's the UN or it could be some NGO in the world who actually ranks countries from best to worst. And you know, at the bottom, they've got the failed states and they've got some countries which are absolutely war-torn and where there is a current war, places like the Ukraine or, you know, Afghanistan or wherever. And for some reason, poor old Somalia always ends up right at the bottom of that list. In other words, they say it's worse than active war zones because there's just been nothing but misery for the people of Mogadishu and the surrounding areas, obviously, where it's probably even...
And sadly, South Sudan makes that area too. You know, they both countries that have been absolutely riven by conflict. I think that is a UN thing, peace survey.
Yeah,
that's an American body. Sorry, an American body that has it. I'm busy working with it. You know, I'm trying to put the finishing touches to my book and trying to work out the five worst and the five best in that sense. Those two always come. You always have countries like Finland and Norway at the top. I don't know how long they'll be that way once they've joined NATO. I suppose even better.
Yeah,
unless the Russians do what they threaten. But no, I love to see lists like that, corruption lists and so on. Hmm. Because I always check the top three and the bottom three.
Yeah.
And sad to see that, you know, the African countries, you're always getting one of them at least or two in the bottom three.
It's called the Fund for Peace. That's what they are, the FFP. And they publish an annual report called the Failed States Index. And that's where I'm getting this information. So if you want to know, that's what it is.
Okay.
The Fund for Peace. Anyway, we've got other stories that we need to talk about with you this morning. Let's just turn our attention. You mentioned Kenya congratulating the Somalians. What's happening with old Raila Odinga? And Uhuru Kenyatta.
Well, you remember in 2017, they actually took up cudgels against each other in after those elections. Well, there was the famous handshake a year later. Uhuru Kenyatta, his terms have run out, so he's leaving. The elections are in August, and he has endorsed Raila Odinga. Hmm. So he's Kenyatta's Jubilee Party is aligned now with Azimio Iyo Moja, which means Quest for Unity, the coalition of Raila Odinga.
Yep.
Now, Uhuru Kenyatta's former deputy, William Ruto, he's wanted, you know, for the fighting against Odinga, he's still wanted by the International Criminal Court. he's now been sacked because he's talking about corruption, between the two big powers. It's all become an issue of tribe, you know. Ruto is Luo. Kenyatta is obviously Kalenjin is Ruto, and the Kikuyu, you know. So there is that fight, the tribal fight, but the former rivals have joined forces. But what Raila Odinga has done is choose the ex-justice minister, Martha Karua, as his running mate. It's the first time a woman has become a presidential running mate, so the likely deputy president. And she made a speech yesterday. I was watching on Cloud, saying that I'm not going to let you down. Congratulations, great choice, all the things that you'd expect incumbent or putative foreign deputy president to say. But these former rivals have now joined forces, and so it's going to make for a very, very interesting election in Kenya. They've had their share of instability, but, you know, could Kenya become one of the big powers in Africa if they can restore stability? I've no doubt it could become, but it isn't there yet.
So, all right, it doesn't sound like there's a huge amount of stability going on there either, for what it's worth. And obviously, the east of Africa is a complicated place. But let's just turn our attention to the west for a second. And Mali, which is another place which has also had a very tough time over the last few years. I mean, we know that Algeria, Mali, even Morocco, Libya most certainly, that whole part of the west of Africa has been complicated, to say the least. What's happening in Mali at the moment?
Well, just below the very North African countries, the Mediterranean border countries, is this area called the Sahel. Mm-hmm. And that is absolutely torn by jihadi fighting at the moment. Now, in 2014, five countries, Burkina Faso, Niger, Chad, Mauritania, and Mali, joined forces with this G5, the Sahel G5, and they actually began an armed operation together, supported with money from the West, particularly France, in 2017. But now they've fallen out, and France seems to have fallen out with a lot of them. There was some anti-French sentiments expressed in Chad. And when Emmanuel Macron said, we're going to get out of Mali now because they've been taking in Russian mercenaries,
yeah,
and they don't seem to be you know, they seem to have other interests now and other things. France obviously saved Mali, which was going to be taken over by the jihadis. They moved in and hoofed them out. But then Assimi Goïta, the coup leader in Mali, when France said, we're going to leave, said to Emmanuel Macron, okay, but don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out. Go now, you know. And so they are moving them out bit by bit. But the fact is, Mali was about to take over chairmanship or the presidency of this group of five. That would have been had they met back in February, but they haven't met yet. And countries like, I mean, in fact, the United Nations is talking very strongly against Mali. France is talking strongly against them. Other countries that are supporting the anti-jihadi fight or them in the anti-jihadi fight because of them taking in these Russian mercenaries have spoken against them. The meeting hasn't happened, and Mali said, you know what? We don't even want to be members of this G5 anymore. So they've completely gone it alone. And I don't know who's going to look after their security now. Certainly, I wouldn't put my faith in the Russian mercenaries.
No, doesn't sound like the best idea. So, all right, perhaps there is a reason for us to be a little less depressed about our own continent for the moment, because I'm looking at the latest failed states index for 2021, where there are figures available. Obviously, they compare these things based on all kinds of things. There are various indices which they use to compare, but we are not home on Africa. In Africa, to the worst country. The worst country in the failed states index for 2021 is actually Yemen, but Somalia still does come in second. So we can claim second place. Syria claims third, South Sudan fourth, as you correctly predicted. And then, of course, Democratic Republic of Congo and so on. And at the winning end of that, the states that they think are least likely to fall apart, Finland, Norway, and Iceland. No surprises there. But as you say, with NATO bubbling in the background, who knows?
Well, you throw your hands up at this one. I think what is happening, you know, and then when we're talking about the refugees coming in, the fact is the refugees, the bulk of them, the greater bulk of them coming in to Europe are from Syria and Yemen, not from Africa, many from Africa. But and so when they when Europe closes its doors, we as African states closing its doors to us, we come across the Mediterranean towards you. The bulk of them, and I've seen them. I went to Turkey and saw them in Izmir. You know, the so sad to see, Gareth, 12-year-old boys waiting to get onto a boat. And they go, and all they do is go and buy a cheap life jacket. There are shops that sell nothing but that, cheap life jackets. And then they've got their 6 and 7-year-old brothers with them. Their parents are either there already or waiting back in Syria for them. The desperation is beyond the singing, I tell you.
Well, JJ, it's not always fun to hear this stuff, but it's necessary for us to know what's going on, and we're grateful to have you keeping an eye on the continent for us. There's lots to talk about, and we will have you back again soon to talk even more. Of course, it's brought to you by the Johannesburg Business School and JJ Cornish. Have an excellent Tuesday. We'll catch up in a few days' time.
Looking forward to it. All the very best, guys.
Thanks, JJ. Cheers.
Cliffcentral.com.